Want to welcome everybody who is here and glad you're able to be here. Larry said just a second ago, we should have been studying Noah with all this rain, and I think that's probably pretty appropriate. So hopefully we can get some sunshine here in the near future. I need to start in a fairly unusual manner. I need to give a shout out to my coworkers. By the grace of God, but also by their hard work and their efforts, I'm here before you tonight, as opposed to you guys just staring up here at an empty pulpit. So I just had a very early start to the morning. Things needed to go really well for me to get here, and they didn't go really well, but they worked very hard, and so I'm appreciative of that. So just want to thank. And in case they could be watching, so Jim, Chris, Ramey, Mike, David Paul, and Cord, thank you very much. I appreciate your efforts. And I know that's unusual, but they worked very hard to ensure that I could be here tonight. So we've reached the last character in our study. It's been a very good study. If we have time at the end, we might open it up for some conversations about some of our favorite characters we've studied or some of the things that we really have liked about what we've been doing. So we'll save that for the end if we have time, but it wasn't my intent to anchor the lineup. It was just kind of worked out that way. But I just want to thank all the men who have prepared the lessons and the classes. I want to thank Mark, of course, for putting all this together, and then also for all of you and your comments in class. I leave most classes just in awe at just the collective intelligence and thoughts that we have as we are able to sit down and study some scripture together. So I appreciate everybody's thoughts, not only when I've been up here, but also when other people are up here. That's been very encouraging to me, and I'm sure to many others as well. So tonight we're going to conclude with one final study, and it's really not fair, considering some of the characters that we have been looking at lately and the lack of information that we have. I really have an embarrassment of riches tonight with an entire book of the Bible to be able to pull from. So granted, it is a small book, but thankful to have some information here, and we'll go through and look at some things. I don't know really what I would call this. I mean, it obviously is going to be a character study. But we also kind of will do it in a fashion. We'll end up reading the entire chapter since it's only 25 verses. So we'll read that together in sections. So if you haven't already, you might be turning over in your Bibles to the book of Philemon. And our study tonight, of course, is Philemon and Onesimus. So hopefully you were here on Sunday, and you got to hear Jordan and Luke discuss Epaphras with us, and they did a very good job on that. And they expertly managed to talk about Epaphras without trampling all over our study for tonight. These characters, of course, the books of Colossians and Philemon being so closely tied together, it would have been really easy for them to cross over the line and start discussing things and not really leave a whole lot for us to be able to talk about tonight, but they didn't do that. So thank you guys for leaving something for us to study tonight. Towards the beginning of the class, Jordan had a slide that hopefully you can see this fairly well. I basically just stole this straight from him. This isn't his exact slide. I just picked out some of the points that he had on here that I thought were important for us tonight in studying Philemon and Onesimus. So just to kind of go through this briefly, from 49 to 52 A.D., in that time frame, Epaphras hears the gospel preached by Paul on his second missionary journey to Ephesus. Then Epaphras establishes the church in Colossae, which is his hometown, and that church is going to meet in the house of Philemon. We'll get, of course, into more of these details here in just a minute. Philemon possibly heard Paul preach while in Ephesus. We don't know that for sure. Again, we'll talk a little bit more detail on some of these things. We know Epaphras did, but it's possible that maybe Philemon could have met Paul at some point there. I don't know that I have an official position that I would take on that, but regardless, he heard Paul's teachings through Epaphras one way or the other, you know, when Epaphras brought that back to Colossae. Then somewhere from 59 to 61 AD, Paul writes a couple of letters when he's imprisoned in Rome. And one of those, of course, is Colossae. We looked a little bit more in detail at the book of, I said Colossae, that to the church at Colossae, but Colossians. And then the other is Philemon. So we looked at Colossians probably a little bit more on Sunday. We won't spend much time really there tonight. And then, of course, Philemon, the book that we're going to be studying in the character tonight. So Tychicus and Onesimus are the messengers sent by Paul from Rome. And so Tychicus is going to bring the book to the church at Colossae. And then Onesimus is going to bring the more personal letter to Philemon and his family. So I liked what Jordan did with that information on Sunday, so I thought I would just share that information with you tonight. I'll go back one for a second. So Jordan also mentioned at the beginning of the class on Sunday, the introduction to Paul's letters are very important, and we can get a lot of information out of that. And so there's, like most, if not all of his letters, there's an introduction that we'll be able to garner some information from. So we'll go through and read that. But it really is going to give us an idea of just, you know, kind of the people, the places, the who and where and when and all that to the letters. So as we start the study here in the book of Philemon, let's just read verses 1 through 3. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. I don't know that there's always a lot of application for that translation, but I think if there is one, it would be the book of Philemon, because the NLT kind of puts things in a little bit more modern speech, if you will. And I think it reads a little bit easier sometimes. And so this being a personal letter from Paul to Philemon, I thought it fit really well. And I like the way that it read. So for the most part tonight, as I'm reading through Philemon, we're going to be using the NLT. This letter is from Paul, a prisoner for preaching the good news about Christ Jesus, and from our brother Timothy. I am writing to Philemon, our beloved co-worker, and to our sister, Apphia, and to our fellow soldier, Archippus, and to the church that meets in your house. May God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. So this book is going to start a lot like the book of Colossians. Paul mentions himself, and of course, Timothy here. So then he's gonna mention a few names, and so I want to go through and just look at those characters. We'll skip Philemon, we'll come back to him, but these characters are at least mentioned, so I want to bring them up. So Apphia, any thoughts on who Apphia might be in your study?
His wife.
That seems to be the common thought, is that Apphia would be his wife. So this letter is being written from Paul to Philemon and his wife. And I don't know that that's terribly important, but it makes sense if it's a personal letter to Philemon. Archippus, thoughts? I think we talked a little bit about this about Archippus on Sunday. So I think the thought on Archippus would be that that he's filling in for Epaphras while he's in prison in Rome. So he's preaching there at the church in Colossae. So again, I don't know that we know that for certain, but that's kind of the position that I've taken. And then it mentions the church that meets in your house. So the church is meeting here in Philemon's house. Some of the commentaries that I read, and some of the scholars they said that they have interpreted the church that meets in your house to be the whole of your family. So as we read through this, if we, you know, it's to Philemon, to his wife, to Archippus, and then to the whole of your family, is the way that I saw some commentators put that. So whether that be just to specifically his personal family or the rest of the church, I don't exactly know that. So we know that Tychicus came back with the letter to the church, and so I would imagine that would have been read before the entire church. And then I don't know if, and we'll get a little bit more into the details of this in just a little bit, but I don't know if Onesimus would have, you know, taken Philemon off to the side after they read this, the letter to the church, if he would have said, "Hey, I got a letter for you as well." I don't know exactly how that would have worked, but it does appear to be, regardless, a personal letter. So let's talk about Philemon. What do we know about him, the person? Not told a whole lot specifically, but we can infer some things about Philemon. Any thoughts on the man Philemon?
Paul calls him a beloved friend.
So a beloved friend. So yeah, so I mean, so a term of endearment there, something I think that we can definitely take from that. Yes?
Probably a good chance.
Okay, yep. So, and that, I think there's a good chance as well. And whether, if not directly by Paul, then Epaphras, but yes, absolutely. Any other thoughts on Philemon?
He seems to, I mean, the church is in his house, so probably, you can probably infer that he has some level of wealth, that he has a house big enough to hold the church there.
Right.
Even if the church isn't that big.
Yep. Yeah, and so I think that, along with the fact that he go ahead, Casey.
Well, along with the fact that he has Onesimus.
Right.
You know, which is a servant or slave. So
yep. Yeah. Yeah. So I think those two things together, I think, would indicate that he probably had some wealth. Larry, what were you going to say?
Yeah.
Okay. The letter isn't written to correct any kind of doctrinal issue, really. It's not written to correct sin. So, I mean, I think we can probably infer that he, I mean, it's, again, Paul calls him a beloved brother. So he's probably, you know, a I don't want to call him a model Christian, but maybe for lack of a better term, seemed to be in good standing there. All right, let's read verses 4 through 7. So this is kind of the second part of the introduction here. So I always thank my God, this is Paul speaking, God, when I pray for you, Philemon, because I keep hearing about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people. And I am praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things we have in Christ. Your love has given me much joy and comfort, my brother, for your kindness has often refreshed the hearts of God's people. So, again, there's a relationship that exists here, whether it be one that has, where they have spent time directly together, or if it's been, I think we can infer some things from Colossians as well, that where maybe they haven't met, so Paul is just hearing about things that are happening there in Colossae and about Philemon, or maybe they have. Again, I don't know that it really matters for us, but there's definitely a relationship that exists there, and we know that he was praying for Philemon and for the church there, and that Philemon's faith in God encouraged Paul while he was in prison. So there's a good relationship there that exists in some sense. So I'm going to say this probably a lot tonight. I'm going to say we don't really know, but we're going to infer some things. So hopefully you're comfortable with making some inferences. I wouldn't be dogmatic about some of the things that we're going to speculate maybe about tonight, about some of the different things, but I think it's hopefully will provide some good conversation for us. All right, so that was the introduction, the first seven verses there for us that we have. It was in way of introduction. So let's kind of jump into the meat of the story. So verses 8 through 12. That is why I am boldly asking a favor of you. I could demand it in the name of Christ because it is the right thing for you to do. But because of our love, I prefer simply to ask you, Consider this as a request from me, Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner for the sake of Christ Jesus. I appeal to you to show kindness to my child, Onesimus. I became his father in the faith while here in prison. Onesimus hasn't been much use to you in the past, but now he is very useful to both of us. I'm sending him back to you, and with him comes my own heart. So, no idea where the next slide went. There it is. Okay. So, as we've done throughout this study, Mark has given us kind of three subsections, if you will, to look at some of these characters. So we're going to look at this in three sections. So the first one being before Onesimus left Philemon. So we're going to kind of jump into that time period, if you will. I've heard the book of Philemon referred to as funny, as referred to as the world's friendliest blackmail letter. I don't know that those give adequate weight to the Word of God, but it is a quirky letter, and we'll talk a little bit about that as we go throughout. So what's happened here? Why is Paul having to ask Philemon to show kindness to Onesimus?
Onesimus had run away.
So he'd run away. So as we discussed, he was a servant and a slave of Philemon, and he's run away, and I think it's commonly believed that he also stole from him. Yeah.
He's probably real worried of what will happen, because it would have been common back here for him to be put to death or be severely.
Right.
The way it's
done. Yeah. So I think there's definitely going to be some trepidation on Onesimus' part. I mean, I know if it were me and I was going back to that situation, for that very reason, and not only just in that culture, but just in that day, even in the Roman culture. He would not have been thought highly of.
It's kind of hard to know exactly what happened just because it doesn't really say. It's usually pretty easy to infer that he ran away. I've heard some people suggest that maybe he was sent to Rome by Philemon on an errand of some sort and just never came back, which might fit a little bit better with some of the language Paul uses, where Philemon sent him with some sort of resource or something to Rome on an errand, and Onesimus just never came back and then met Paul in the process. So I don't know. I don't know that that's necessarily what happened either, but it's just...
No, absolutely. I mean, I had seen that as well, and I don't know that, again, I don't know that we can tell one way or the other. We will talk a little bit about when we get into the next section, which will be here just in a second, but about some of those things, that, you know, how did Onesimus end up with Paul? And if he was sent there by Philemon, I mean, that would be one of the things that would make sense. So most of the commentaries that I read thought that he probably had ran away. Again, I don't know that it matters, but one way or the other, he'd left Philemon. Like Seth said, either hadn't returned or was intent and not leaving and not returning. So, any thoughts on why he if he wasn't sent, then why might he have fled, other than the obvious that he was a slave. Right. So maybe he was looking for not only freedom, but also profit and stealing from a prosperous person. Darren?
We'll talk about him not being much use to Philemon. So apparently, he wasn't working. He didn't feel good for him, so he was probably looking for a way out.
Right. So what anybody know when you were studying what is Onesimus, what's that name mean? Useful. So Paul, one of the reasons why people kind of look at this as a funny book, or at least a funny verse, chapter 11, Paul takes an opportunity to throw a pun in there, if you will. So basically he's saying the one who his name is useful wasn't of use to you. So I think that was too good of an opportunity for Paul to pass that up. But right, if Onesimus wasn't useful to Philemon, that could have definitely created some. Right.
And so whether he was useful or whatever it was, he was, had no value to him in a way of life, I would think. And that's what Paul will be talking about later on, and how he is now a brother. And I'm jumping ahead to be how you need to take care of him.
Right. Yep. Yep. No, absolutely.
I guess I keep saying this. It's kind of hard to know exactly what's going on, but. You don't really see Paul like criticizing Philemon for the way he was treating Onesimus previously. So it's kind of like you. On one hand, Onesimus by that society would have been considered property, but you also are. This is post the teachings of Jesus, and Jesus saying slaves respect your masters, masters treat your slaves well, and you don't really see Paul telling him, hey, you need to treat him better. It's more of like, hey, don't treat him badly when he comes back.
Right.
And so I don't know, like, it makes it harder to understand what Onesimus' motivation might have been for leaving, because it doesn't really seem like Philemon was treating him poorly.
So typically, I agree with that. So typically, I mean, if you were being treated well as a slave, I mean, there probably wouldn't have been a reason to leave. But like you said, Seth, it seems like if there would have been mistreatment there on Philemon's part, then there would have been some correction from Paul. So I don't know. I don't know what to make of all that. It's interesting speculation, we have this question. Let's take a second to. So regardless of how we think it ended up happening or why. I think it's easy for us to say Onesimus was in a situation where he didn't want to be there, or he didn't at least want to return. So the question on your sheet, if you have one of those, is how should we respond when we find ourselves in situations that we don't want to be in? So, any thoughts on that? We won't spend a ton of time on this because we need to get through quite a bit more. But Darren. So that was the first one that came to my mind as well. If you didn't hear Darren, that you know, if you're in a job situation maybe you don't want to be in. So when I was younger, I fled some job situations probably too soon. And so maybe a sign of maturity, have been in job situations since then and have not fled the way I did when I was youthful. And I remember a comment. It was actually Phil talking with Phil Holloway about my current job situation. He's like, "Well, yeah, you could leave, or you could stay, and be a good example, and be you know, be a Christian example to people." And I think absolutely we can stay and do our best and be the best example that we can to those we're around. Any other thoughts on handling difficult situations? Okay, let's move on. So, time period of while Onesimus is with Paul in Rome. So, again, don't know how much time lapsed from when Onesimus left Colossae and found his way to Rome to meet up there with Paul while he's in prison. And we don't know if it was accidental or planned. Again, as Seth has already pointed out, maybe it was planned. Maybe that is how he ended up there, or it could have been an accident. Maybe he had heard of Paul being around the house of Philemon. Potentially, he could have heard some of his teachings. Seth referenced this as well, but I mean, so Galatians 3:8. Maybe he had heard Paul's teachings that there's no longer slave or free. I would think that would have been something that he would have been interested in. Okay.
I Well, I think from verse 10, I think whichever the two storylines, or maybe it's a third one that we're not even considering, there's an imbalance because Paul's making an appeal to him. So whatever the circumstances was that Onesimus was separated from Philemon, there was an issue. And Paul is appealing to him because of some type of imbalance. And so
right.
I think maybe that's maybe kind of the an import for us today, is the fact that there was some type of imbalance in that relationship that Paul felt the need to write a letter of appeal to.
Right. Yes. So, yeah. So, and you, go ahead.
Even with that imbalance, playing off that word you used, it seems that this is a very personal letter, very intimate. The language is, and that's more than we usually see from Paul when it's, you know, when he's writing to Timothy, he doesn't use this deep, not as deep. So maybe it's, maybe he knows kind of what he's sending Onesimus back into. I don't know.
Right.
I can kind of guess at least a little.
Yeah. Well, you know, and with Onesimus being there, it's possible that, you know, and likely that Onesimus was telling him the situation he's going to go back into. And I think that maybe lends itself to why Paul had such a long introduction, why it took him a while to get to the point of what he's asking. And then, and if we have time, we'll look at some things about kind of his tactics, if you will, that Paul uses throughout the entire letter. So, yeah, I think absolutely. And let's keep on moving. Let's read verses 13 through 15. I wanted to keep, speaking of Onesimus, I wanted to keep him here while I am in these chains for preaching the good news, and he would have helped me on your behalf. But I didn't want to do anything without your consent. I wanted you to help because you were willing, not because you were forced. It seems you lost Onesimus for a little while so that you could have him back forever. So, we don't know how long Onesimus was there with Paul, but they obviously had a bond. We've already read about the father-son relationship that Paul felt with him. I think verse 15, to me, for a couple of reasons, is really one of the main cruxes of this letter, the main point. So, and there could be many others, but to me, as I read through this, as I read it several times, I kept on coming back to verse 15. So, in the NLT, it read, it seems you lost Onesimus for a little while so that you could have him back forever. Other versions say he departed for a season to be with you forever. So I think it's pretty easy application, but what's the application there?
It seems like Paul's telling Philemon that Onesimus had left in a state that did not allow him to be the kind of helper for Philemon that he needed to be. And in him leaving and finding Paul, and Paul teaching him the gospel, had now become, as he'll say later, not just a slave but a brother in Christ, and someone who could ultimately be much more useful to Philemon than he would have been otherwise.
Right. I think absolutely. And how much better that relationship is for Philemon. I mean, you said that, but so, I mean, a master and a slave, that relationship is going to be terminated upon somebody's death. That relationship is going to be over. Whereas a brother, a spiritual brother in Christ, that relationship is going to be one of much more significance. So I think he's making the point. So Seth said it very well. I mean, he left and he's coming back to you better than what he was when he left, and more useful for you. The other aspect of chapter verse 15 that I think is interesting. So, another version that I read was the New American Standard, and it read this way: "For perhaps it was for this reason that he was separated from you for a while, that you would have him back forever." So when I read that version, as I read the first part, for this reason, it made me think. Because I don't know if anybody else thinks this of Esther. When does it, Cam, you think of that? So Esther 4:14, Mordecai's words to her, he says, if you keep silent at this time, liberation and rescue will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this? So I mean, that one of the obvious, the well-known statements in the book of Esther. So if Esther's being placed there, he's saying maybe you're here for just that reason. So, as I read the New American Standard, the way that they worded that, I thought the same thing. So the question for us is, have you ever wondered, have you ever had a situation where you think, man, I'm here for this specific purpose? I don't know if you think that. I think that way a lot. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I probably think that too much, but. Have you ever been in a situation that where you're like, this is why I'm here, for this reason? Yeah.
Can we back up just a minute?
Yep.
You know, there's a chance that this might have played out because this was God's will. Onesimus needed God. It sounds like Paul really needed him at that moment also. So that maybe.
Yeah. So it's a great point, and I think ultimately the main, sorry, I promised Jake and Vicky I'd stay behind the mic. I think it's the main point of the main application for me is that there's no issue too small. I mean, this is a very personal letter. This involves Philemon and Onesimus. There's no matter too small to escape God's care and concern. And so, to your point, Onesimus needed Paul. Paul needed Onesimus, and Philemon maybe needed this opportunity to grow as a Christian as well. So, great point.
I think to kind of go with where you're going with your lead-in question there is the times in my life when I have considered this. You know, if I'm here for a specific reason, I've had a much better perspective on the issue I'm handling. And I think that as a Christian, that's always, for me, a struggle is keeping the right perspective.
Right.
I think it's easy to get too short-term focused or maybe take things too personally. And if I stop a minute and I allow myself to think, you know, well, maybe I'm missing something, and putting a broader lens on it, I can handle it better.
Right. That's a great point.
I think about this a lot, and I've had a lot of situations where I've thought I was put in a certain situation for a reason and then realized later that that's not at all what was happening. And I think sometimes it's really difficult and even potentially dangerous for us to try and ascertain the specific will of God in the moment. It usually happens looking back. Like you go through this situation and then you look back and you're like, oh, I see all the things God was doing with that. And so I think what Paul is doing here is he's telling Philemon, not necessarily like think about this in the moment. He's thinking, look at all the good things that have come from this. And like, I don't know that it was God, you know, I don't know that you can really say there's divine intervention and God saying, here, Onesimus, maybe you should go over here, and he just kind of moves him. Like, and we kind of tend to think of it that way. It may have been God using an unfortunate situation and a slave running away from his master to teach the slave the gospel and then create a stronger bond between the two when he went back.
Great point. I'm not going to try to repeat that, but hopefully everybody could hear that. That's a excellent point. We're down to 5 minutes, so we're going to have to hustle to get done. So last section here, when Paul sent Onesimus back with the letter. So we're going to skip over quite a bit of what I had here. Let's just get down to reading verses 16 through 21. He, speaking of Onesimus, is no longer like a slave to you. He is more than a slave, for he is a beloved brother, especially to me. Now he will mean much more to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it. and I won't mention that you owe me your very soul. Yes, my brother, please do me this favor for the Lord's sake. Give me this encouragement in Christ. I am confident as I write this letter that you will do what I ask and even more. Okay, so we'll come back to that letter, so or to that question. Any thoughts? I guess, since we're running out of time, I want to give everybody an opportunity to say something. Any thoughts on this particular section?
Paul saying you owe me.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to that's one of the tactics that he uses. So in the last maybe minute, we'll scramble through some of his tactics. Yeah, you owe me. So I definitely get this sense, and we've discussed this already, but I definitely get the sense that that as Onesimus is approaching with Tychicus, as they're approaching Colossae, I'm sure his heart was racing, and then as they got time to approach Philemon, I doubt there was a Disney moment there, you know, the moment where they run and embrace and fall to their knees. Don't ever try that. It's awkward. But I don't think that happened here. I don't think the word Onesimus probably sat real well with Philemon as he's coming back at that time. And again, Onesimus is with Paul as Paul's writing this letter. I can kind of picture Onesimus standing over Paul's shoulder and saying, "Make this part stronger. You need to really emphasize this." So again, just speculation on my part. All right, any thoughts? Before we get into the tactics, because this is probably the least important thing, just again, open up, we've got a couple minutes left. Any other important things you want to bring out about the letter that we haven't hit on so far? Any main points that you want to discuss?
You know, I think sometimes we get burdened down trying to figure everything out. But we always got to remember, you know, God's gave us all things.
Right. Yep. So we have what we need. I think God's relationship and His revelation through letters like this. I mean, it's intensely personal. And so that's one thing I get out of this is, I mean, it's definitely something that, you know, he's not too busy to care about the issues that are going on in your life. Forgiveness, if you didn't hear Darren, forgiveness and reconciliation. So we can learn how to when we've been mistreated, we can learn how to handle those situations from this. How Paul expects us to, anyway. Okay, Mark worded this a little bit better than I did. He said, let's see. What are some things I should apply from how Paul made his appeal to Philemon? I said, what tactics did he use? Time's up, but I like looking for humor and anything, but even the Word of God. So I think verse 11, definitely there's some humor there. I'm not suggesting that there's humor throughout, but. I look at it that way, and so any tactics. So again, Casey, you said Paul said you owe me. I mean, he pulled out the tactic of Philemon. You owe me this. What other tactics did he use? I'll give you a hint. There, from verse 4 through the end of the chapter, there's one in every verse, or at least one. So we obviously will not have time to go through all those. But if you want to a fun little 10-minute thing to do when you get home tonight would be to go through and just look at in this verse what psychological warfare is Paul playing on Philemon when he says this. So, anybody have it? We're waiting for everybody to come back in. Anybody have anything? Go ahead, Larry. Go first.
He told him he's a brother in Christ. I mean, that's that's overwhelming from where their position was, master slave, to he's your brother.
Right. Yep.
What a change.
Yeah. That's very direct and very blunt. Yeah, the slave now is your brother. Go ahead.
Well, having been in sales for 50 years, this is a great sales letter.
Yeah, it is.
Introduced, he starts it. He gets Onesimus into the, Philemon into what? Then he gives all the features and benefits of why he needs to keep Onesimus.
Right.
And then the, as you said,
features and benefits. Yep.
Features and benefits. And then the closing, he puts that there was no wiggle room for Philemon.
Right. So you mentioned at the end there's no wiggle room. So verse 22 is my favorite. So I'll mention that one. The doors aren't open yet, probably because I'm still talking. But verse 22 is my favorite. It's the Columbo. If you remember, for those Seth, you probably a little. Have you seen Columbo?
I've seen.
So Google Columbo. One more thing. So I mean, so it's really not the Columbo. It's really the Paul. Paul obviously came before Columbo. So. One more thing, and so he says, I mean, obviously this is a letter, so he wasn't walking away, but I mean, you could just picture Columbo, and he's just like, one more thing. I'm going to be coming to Colossae. I'm going to be checking up on you and making sure that you're treating him the way that I ask you to treat him. And we don't know that he ever made it back to Colossae, but I think that was a very interesting way to almost conclude that letter. So, all right, thank you very much for your comments. I appreciate it. Sorry we didn't get to the what's your favorite lesson that we had. I was really looking forward to hearing a lot of aces and naamans, but.